Welcome to the Inside the iCubs podcast, the podcast for all things Iowa Cubs baseball. Weekly recaps, players and moments that stood out, and weekly previews throughout the 2023 International League Baseball season here in the Heartland. Now batting for your Iowa Cubs, the host of the podcast, David Marr. Certainly was a fun and explosive road trip, to say the least, for the Iowa Cubs. What's up, iCubs Nation? Welcome to episode number 20, officially episode 20, of the Inside the iCubs podcast, the source for all things Iowa Cubs baseball. I am your host, David Marr. I am back in Des Moines for 1 week. I could not get last week's episode up. I do apologize. I am planning my return trip back to Boston next week, so I do apologize. I was really going to go all negative because last week was rough for the Iowa Cubs. They got crushed by the Toledo Mudhens. And frankly, I think that's partially my fault because I did say on the podcast that the iCubs had a chance to maybe get their first sweep in a six-game series, at least take 5 out of 6. And it was the complete opposite. They almost got swept. They won one game, only won 3-1, and got embarrassed in 3 games. So, iCubs fans, last week was probably my fault, so I apologize. Anyway, I did enjoy a nice trip to Kansas City on Saturday. My grandfather and I visited the Negro Baseball League Hall of Fame, a tour of Arrowhead Stadium. Oh, sorry, it's GEHA Field, which I'm still a little upset about, even though I am a Pats fan. It's going to be Arrowhead Stadium to me. And we did check out the Royals game, although it was particularly a Cardinals home game, considering that the Cardinals were in town. And I'm pretty sure the entire city of St. Louis was at that game. But anyway, I do apologize if I sound a little bit salty while I'm recording this. I did make the trip to Omaha today for Sunday's game, trying to see if the iCubs could get the brooms out. But the game got rained out. I was there in Omaha for about an hour or so. And after driving 2 hours, after literally driving from Kansas City back to Des Moines, earlier this morning, yes, I'm recording this on Sunday right now, Sunday night, I drove up from Kansas City on Sunday morning. I went back to my apartment for about an hour and a half. I hit the road to Omaha at 1:30 with the weather being nice. The sun was out. It was nice and cool. I get to Omaha and it starts pouring like crazy. The rain did stop, but according to Doppler radar, the game was going to, there was a potential chance for rain throughout the game, so I ended up driving 2 hours back after being in Omaha for about an hour and 15 minutes, another 2 hours and 15 minutes back to Des Moines. So I'm a little bit sour about that because I just blew about $50 trying to go to that game. Anyway, we are back on the podcast today, and so I'm going to do my best to soak up every last minute of being in Des Moines this week, starting with a trip to the State Fair tomorrow. Happy State Fair week, of course, everybody. If you haven't been to the State Fair, if you are Iowan or not, please go check it out. I am so excited to go back tomorrow. I cannot wait to go check out all the things the State Fair has to offer. I was really hoping to get into the Black Keys concert if I didn't blow $40 today, but unfortunately, ticket prices are a little too high, and I really need to plan my return trip to Boston this week. So that, unfortunately, is a no-go for me, which is a bummer considering that we've been promoting it at the ballpark for the last month and a half. Anyway, let's get into the general sense. A reminder that this podcast will run all season long, will be available on Anchor and on Spotify and all other podcast stations across the internet. Just search up the Inside the iCubs podcast to find every episode's new episodes will be most likely every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central. Again, I do apologize for not getting last week's episode up. I was a little too busy. Okay, the iCubs went back west on I-80 to wrap up their road slate against Omaha. Let's see how they did. Let's start on Tuesday night. The iCubs beat Omaha 8-2 to start the series. It was their sixth series opening victory in the last 7 weeks. They're 13th of the regular season. They are now 9-1-3 in a series when doing so. They have yet to lose a series opener against the Storm Chasers this season, which means they are 3-0 in a series opener against Omaha this year. And the I-Cubs outscored Omaha 7-1 in the final four innings, including a four-run ninth, which was impressive for Iowa to get after Omaha's bullpen, which really was the theme of the entire series, to be completely honest. For the I-Cubs, Alex Canario finished the day 1-for-5 with a double, 3 RBIs in the ninth. He hit a three-run double to technically ice the game for the I-Cubs in the ninth. Pete Crow Armstrong, 1-for-3 with a solo home run, his second of the regular season, an RBI and 2 walks for PCA. Jonathan Peraza had a good game, 1-for-1 of 5 with a 2-run home run and 2 RBIs. And Matt Mervis, a very good game for him, 2-for-3 for Mervis, solo home run, an RBI and 2 walks. Good stuff out of Anthony Kay. He was sent back on a rehab assignment from Chicago to Iowa. 1.1 innings pitched for Kay, a walk and 3 strikeouts. In his first win of the regular season, it was his first decision of the regular season as an Iowa Cub. Nick Neidert, a quality start for Nick. 5.2 innings pitched for Neidert. 2 earned runs on 3 hits, a walk and 4 strikeouts. Bailey Horn picked up his first save of the season. 2 innings pitched for Horn. 2 hits, a walk, and 2 strikeouts. For the Omaha Storm Chasers, Devin Mann, 2-for-4 with a solo home run, his first at the AAA level and first with the Storm Chasers. I wouldn't say first at AAA because he was playing in Oklahoma City with the Dodgers. So let's backtrack this and say first AAA home run with Omaha. He also had an RBI. Adeni Echevarria, 1-for-4 with a solo home run and an RBI. Nick Lofton, 1-for-4 with a double. Walter Pennington took his first loss of the year for the Storm Chasers, 1.1 innings pitched, 2 earned runs on 2 hits, 2 walks, and a strikeout. Max Castillo did pitch well for the Chasers, 5.2 innings for Castillo, 2 earned runs on 3 hits, 4 walks, 8 strikeouts. As for a moment of the game, let's give it to Pete Crow Armstrong, his second home run of the season, and we'll also give it to Canario's game-breaking double. The I-Cubs had just gone up 5-2. They had the bases loaded, and Canario ripped one into the gap in left center field to plate 3 runs and give the I-Cubs the series-opening victory. Wow, I'm getting that mixed up a lot. Well, Wednesday was certainly fun. If you didn't watch the game or you didn't listen to the game, it was quite a blast for the Iowa Cubs. Keyword being blast, as they blasted the Storm Chasers 20-1. That is correct. 20-1. It is the largest margin of victory for the Iowa Cubs this season. The second largest margin of victory in team history. They put up 20 runs for the first time in 13 years. I looked up the date. August 30th, 2010, a Pacific Coast League game against the Albuquerque Isotopes when the I-Cubs beat the Isotopes 20-9. The I-Cubs put up 8 runs in the first inning behind 4 home runs, 7 overall for Iowa. The 7 home runs they hit in one game, that was for the second time in the regular season. Chase Strump had a grand slam. His grand slam was the first since Nelson Velasquez had a grand slam versus Indianapolis on July 19th. We should also point out that Nelson Velasquez is no longer with the Iowa Cubs. He was sent to Omaha during the trade deadline. Interesting statistic, during this game, the I-Cubs' 7-9 hitters, which included Pete Crow Armstrong, Luis Vasquez, and Chase Strump, combined for 8-for-13, 4 home runs, 14 RBIs. They scored 10 of the 20 runs, and they walked 5 times, which means they reached base 13 times during this game. Every Iowa Cub reached base at least once during this game. Jake Slaughter and Darius Hill did not record a hit. They did get on base, but did not record a hit. The I-Cubs were carrying a no-hitter into the sixth inning, and they held Omaha to just 4 hits. So, what was the most impressive statistic in your mind, I-Cubs fans? Was it the fact that the offense just put up 20 runs, or the fact that the pitching did its job and held Omaha to just 1 run on 4 hits? Because I think that's the most impressive, given the way that the I-Cubs pitching was really taking a lot of heat after last week's series against Toledo, with the way they were walking a lot of batters and allowing a lot of Toledo batters to easily attack pitches that were coming at them in the zone. So statistics-wise, Chase Strump, 3-for-4, 2 home runs, one of which being a grand slam. He finished with 7 RBIs, and he walked twice. Luis Vasquez, 3-for-5, 2 home runs. Both were 3-run home runs for Vasquez, 6 RBIs. For Luis, he also walked once. P.J. Higgins was 1-for-5. He had a 2-run home run on the first. He finished with 2 RBIs. Jonathan Peraza, 3-for-5 with a double and a 2-run home run, both of which came in the first inning. 2 RBIs. He finished a triple shy of the cycle. Matt Mervis, the other home run goes to him. He finished 1-for-5 with a solo home run and an RBI. Luke Little got his first AAA win. Two innings pitched for Little, three strikeouts overall, no hits or walks. Shane Green, great start for Green. Three innings pitched, one walk, three strikeouts. And Iowa struck out 14 batters during the game. Every pitcher on the iCubs pitching staff recorded a strikeout. For the Omaha Storm Chasers, it would be Adeni Echevarria getting the lone run. It was a solo home run for Echevarria. He finished 1-for-3 with an RBI. John Rave, Nick Lofton, and Tyler Gentry, 1-for-4 each. And the other statistic for Omaha was Tucker Bradley. He finished 0-for-2 with a walk. Drew Parrish took the loss for Omaha. 0.2 innings pitched for the starter. 8 earned runs on 6 hits, 3 walks, 1 strikeout. And it was a game that was so bad that a position player, specifically Angelo Castellano, came in to pitch in the top of the ninth inning for the Storm Chasers. And he got an inning-ending double play to get out of the ninth inning. There could be a lot of moments from this game. Obviously, when you put up 20 runs, that is a lot to say, wow, this moment could be anywhere. But we will give it to Chase Strumpf's big day. Obviously, got to be huge for Chase Strumpf. He came into this series really struggling, not having a lot of success at the plate. Having a game like that is huge for Chase Strumpf. Maybe the thing that gets him going again. Because you guys got to remember, when Chase first came up to Des Moines, he was on fire. He was getting a lot of base hits and a lot of home runs, hitting the ball really hard. Since then, he's been kind of slumping. He's been striking out a lot. His strikeout rate's gone up. So this game, I certainly think, set him back on track. And the other statistic of the day for the Omaha Storm Chasers, they allowed 11 walks, 17 hits, 11 walks, 28 men reached base, 20 of them scored, 19 of them being earned, and of course they did allow 7 home runs. Game 3 on Thursday was not as fun, but it was still a good game for the iCubs. They clobbered the Storm Chasers 10-3 behind another 8-run inning. That is a guarantee of a split for Iowa. That is their 16th time that they have guaranteed a split of a series this season. It's the 20th time this year that the iCubs have scored 10 or more runs in one game. The most that they have done that is 21 back in 2008. Omaha took the 1-0 lead in the fourth. They led it through 6. They held Iowa to just 3 hits through 6. So that tells you that Omaha's starting pitching was really good, and the iCubs really got after their bullpen, and it showed. The iCubs outscored the Storm Chasers 10-2 in the final 3 innings, and all Iowa hitters got on base during this game. For the iCubs, Miles Mastroboni, 3-of-5, a 3-run home run and 3 RBIs. PJ Higgins, another good game from him, 2-of-5 with a double and 3 RBIs. Luis Vasquez, 1-of-3, 2 RBIs and 2 walks for Vasquez. Alex Canario, 1-of-5 with 2 RBIs. Chris Clark got the win out of the bullpen. 2 innings pitched for Clark, 2 earned runs on 2 hits, 2 walks, and 2 strikeouts. Second win of the season, second consecutive win for Chris Clark, decision-wise. Jordan Wicks, another quality start for Wicks. 5 innings pitched, an earned run on 4 hits. He walked 1, he struck out 5. The one run he gave up was a solo home run by Nate Eaton, which really shows that Wicks is starting to come along in AAA. You guys got to remember, his last start came against Toledo last Friday, and his one earned run that he gave up during that game was on a passed ball. So he's been pitching really well for the iCubs. Brendan Little and Tyler Duffy pitched a combined 2 innings. They combined for 3 walks and 2 strikeouts out of the bullpen. For the Chasers, as I mentioned, Nate Eaton had a solo home run. He finished the day 1-for-3 with a home run, an RBI, and a walk. Brewer Hicklin finished 2-of-4 with a triple and an RBI. Jose Briseño, 1-of-4 with a solo shot and an RBI. Walter Pennington, his second loss of the series, 0.1 innings pitched for Pennington, 2 earned runs on 2 hits. Steven Cruz surrendered 6 earned runs on 4 hits in 0.1 innings pitched after Pennington exited. Anthony Veneziano had a great start for the Storm Chasers. 6 innings pitched for Veneziano, 3 hits, 2 walks, 10 strikeouts during the game. Moment of the game, let's give it to Miles Mastroboni. His third home run with the iCubs in an 8-run 7th inning that put the bow on that 7th inning for Iowa, where they put up 8 runs. We go to Friday, where the iCubs hung 8 or more runs on the Storm Chasers again. They beat them 9-4. That's series win number 12 for Iowa. That's their 6th road series win. They have won 12 series this year, as I just mentioned, but that is more series wins this year than in the last 2 seasons combined. They won 5 2 years ago in 2021. They won 6 last year. They're now 12-5-3 in a series this season. And again, they scored 8 combined runs in a span of 6th and 7th inning. Matt Mervis and David Bote hit back-to-back home runs in the 7th inning. The only negative to come out of this game for Iowa is that Edwin Rios left the game with an injury. He did score one of the runs, but as he was going towards home, he was kind of limping his way there. Looked like he might have tweaked something. He's been added to the injured list. It is unclear if he will suit up this week when the iCubs will host Louisville. For the Cubs, David Bote, 3 of 5, a double, a solo home run, and an RBI. He was a triple shy of the cycle. PCA finished 2 of 3, a double. He scored 3 times. He also walked twice. Matt Mervis, 1 of 4 with a 2-run shot. 2 RBIs for Mervis. Luis Vasquez and Darius Hill each picked up 2 RBIs. Another great relief effort out of Anthony Kay. He picks up his 2nd win of the series. 2 innings pitched for Kay, 4 strikeouts. Michael Rucker made another rehab start. 3 innings pitched, an earned run on 4 hits. 2 walks, 5 strikeouts. Iowa combined for 16 strikeouts. And this was a game where 3 pitchers, Rucker, Kay, and Bailey Horn, had 4 or more strikeouts. Nate Eaton, 2 of 4 with a solo home run for Omaha. He also finished with an RBI. Nick Lofton, 2 of 4. Angelo Castellano and Tucker Bradley each went 1 of 3 with a walk and a run scored. Evan Sis took the loss for Omaha. Did not record a single inning pitch, 2 earned runs on 2 hits, a walk. He came on with 2 outs in the 6th inning. Did not record an out. The iCubs completely ran him out of the building in a 6th inning that saw them get 3 runs on 4 hits, and 3 of those hits were with 2 strikes. So imagine that. The iCubs were down to their last strike in 3 at bats, and they hit 3 base hits. They scored 3 runs on 4 hits to chase him in the game. Jonathan Bolin was terrific. 5.2 innings pitched for Bolin, an earned run on 3 hits, 3 walks, and 8 strikeouts. Omaha struck out 13 batters combined. So there's a positive for them in this game. Moment of the game, let's go with Matt Mervis and David Bote. They put really a bow on the 7th inning for Iowa with those back-to-back shots. A 2-run shot from Mervis, the solo shot from Bote. Bote had a pretty good game. As I mentioned, he finished a triple shy of the cycle, so always good to see Bote have a good game. It was also, I believe it was 6-7 years ago to Saturday where he hit his last strike, last out, grand slam to beat Washington on a Sunday night baseball game against the Nationals, so had to think that had to have some relevance here and some coincidence. Let's go to Saturday where the iCubs beat Omaha in their 5th straight game 7-4. They put up 7 or more runs for the 5th straight game. 3rd time this year that the iCubs have won 5 in a row, the first time since early July when they won 2 in Omaha and then started 4th of July week by winning 3 in a row against St. Paul. They would end up losing 3 in a row against St. Paul that same week. And of course, that we all know that was the series that Alex and I lost our laptops to foul balls, so just wanted to throw that out there. The iCubs scored 3 runs in the 5th. They used a very good bullpen to hang on. Really great game out of the bullpen, which we'll get to in a second. PCA extended his hitting streak to 8 games with a home run, and all of Omaha's runs were on home runs. So Omaha really using the long ball, and they were a little bit more competitive in this game, but the iCubs really just took advantage in the top half of the 5th inning to knock them out. In this game. And that's where we get into the statistics. Alex Canario, 2 of 4 with a 2-run shot and 3 RBIs. I mentioned PCA had a solo home run. He finished 2 of 5 with a double. He also scored 2 runs along with that solo home run. And Jonathan Perlaza, 1 of 4 with 2 RBIs. Recently promoted Iowa Cub Samuel Reyes from Tennessee got his first AAA win. He pitched a great 3 innings, allowing just 1 hit, 1 walk, and he got 1 strikeout. So congratulations to Sam Reyes. Luke Little got his first AAA save. He allowed 1 hit in the 9th, did not allow a walk, and did not strike out a batter. Tyler Duffy made the start. 2.2 innings pitched for Duffy. 4 earned runs on 4 hits, a walk, and a strikeout. For the Iowa bullpen, 6.1 innings pitched out of the bullpen. 3 hits, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts. Really good stuff out of the bullpen in that game. For the Storm Chasers, Clay Dungan finished 1 of 4 with a solo home run and an RBI. Nick Lofton, 1 of 4, a 2-run shot for Lofton and 2 RBIs. Tyler Gentry, 1 for 3 with a solo shot, and an RBI and a walk. Tucker Bradley, perfect game for Bradley, 2 of 2 with a double and 2 walks. Brett DeGuse took the loss, 2.1 innings pitched for DeGuse, 4 earned runs on 4 hits, a walk, and 2 strikeouts. Joe Barlow got the start for Omaha, 2 innings pitched for Barlow, 3 earned runs on 3 hits, and 2 walks. Moment of the game, let's go to Canario's home run in the 5th that put the ICOPS back on top, a lead that they would not relinquish. And, of course, the bullpen being completely lights out. 6.1 innings for the bullpen. 3 hits, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts. Let's go to Sunday. Oh, wait, we can't go to Sunday because it got postponed due to the weather. And, of course, it still sucks because I drove 2 hours both ways for the game. There is talks of being a makeup date. It has yet to be announced. It could most likely be canceled as the ICOPS do not go back to Omaha this year. Omaha will come back to them. And I have seen this situation a couple of times this year. I think it was actually earlier this week where Buffalo was at Worcester and the teams played a doubleheader in which the Bisons were the home team in Worcester. So that could potentially be something that both teams could work out, but we'll see where we get in that point. Anyway, but as of right now, the game's been postponed. Potentially could not be made up this year. Again, the ICOPS will not go back to Omaha this year. With the game postponed, that means the ICOPS earned their second sweep of the season. It's their first sweep of the Storm Chasers with a 5-0 in games victory. As I mentioned, it's the second time this season that the ICOPS have swept an opponent. The first time since opening weekend, the very first weekend of the season when the ICOPS swept the Columbus Clippers in 3 games back at the start of the season in March and April. The ICOPS have now won 7 in a row against Omaha dating back to early July. They win the season series against the Storm Chasers. That's pretty big. With 11 wins to Omaha's 4. So that means if Omaha comes back, even if they win, as of right now, those 6 games that are still on in Des Moines, they would not have enough wins to win the season series. So the ICOPS have won that so far. If the game somehow gets a makeup date, then Omaha can win the next 7 and therefore even the season series at 11, but we won't know because that game right now doesn't have a makeup date. Anyway, the biggest stat of the game was Iowa's offense. They outscored the Storm Chasers 54-14 in 5 games. They also outhit the Storm Chasers 57-32 in 5 games. This series also allowed Iowa to creep closer to the second half lead in the league as they are now 2 games back of Lehigh Valley and Worcester, who are currently tied for that top spot. So once again, ICOPS fans, I asked throughout this entire series, what was better in your opinion? Was it the offense being so good or the defense and pitching being lights out in this series against Omaha? Now, Omaha's not a great offensive team. They are really struggling. They have the Royals have the third worst system in all of Major League Baseball. But it's the minor leagues. Anything can happen. But with the way the ICOPS got punched in the gut by Toledo multiple times last week, this was a great bounce back series for them. And it's, I think, momentum riding into a home series against Louisville that will be licking their wounds coming off that series in St. Paul. Speaking of which, I think I hear something in the background. Uh-oh. The bats are back. All right, let's get into it. The ICOPS are heading back home, and they look to continue their winning ways as they take on the Louisville Bats. It's the first meeting between these two teams, between Iowa and Louisville, since late April. It's the second series of the season between these two teams, the second of which in Des Moines. You might remember these two teams played a really classic offensive game on a Wednesday afternoon in Des Moines that shattered a lot of offensive records. The ICOPS won that game 18-16. The third series of the season between these two teams will happen at the end of the year in Louisville, at the end of the month of September, and that will be where the ICOPS season will end, unless, of course, they end up making the playoffs, which is still a very realistic possibility. As I mentioned, they are just 2 games back of Lehigh Valley and Worcester with a lot of baseball left to be played in the minor leagues. For those who don't know, Louisville is, of course, the AAA affiliate of the Cincinnati Reds. So Reds fans, if you're out there and you want to come watch your future Red Legs play in Des Moines, we have the series for you this weekend with the Reds and Cubs AAA teams getting together this week. This will not be the same Bats team that came to Central Iowa in April. You may remember, as I brought up that 18-16 shootout on a Wednesday in late April, that Bats team, had Reds prospects Ellie De La Cruz, Matt McClain, Christian Encarnacion Strand, Will Benson, TJ Friedl, pitching prospects like Andrew Abbott and Ben Lively. They are all gone. They are up in the big leagues playing with the big club Cincinnati Reds, who the Cubs are trying to catch who the Chicago Cubs, have been trying to catch in the NL Central this season. So all those top prospects are gone, but that does not mean that this Bats team is not dangerous. The Bats finished the first half of the season 40-33 with a plus 13 run differential, but they were 13-14 against teams that were at or above 500. So far in the second half, the Bats are 20-19, so they're still on a right around an average team, and they're 5-5 in their last 10 games. They are 6-12 on the road in the second half. That is the second least amount of wins in the Western Division in the second half, and it's one of the worst road records in the league overall. This season, the Bats have an overall record of 60-52. They are 27-28 on the road, so they are below 500 when they're playing away from Louisville. To recap the second half of the year for the Bats a little bit, they began the second half by dropping a home series to Indianapolis 4-2. Then they split with Toledo in Ohio 3-3 over the 4th of July before going into the All-Star break. The Bats came out of the All-Star break by sweeping a really good pitching staff in Nashville in three games, but then they split a series at home with Columbus, and then they lost at Indy 4-2. So far in August, it's been up and down for the Bats with big ups and big downs. They swept the Storm Chasers in six games, which means Omaha has now lost 11 in a row since the iCubs series. So, but retracing my steps here a little bit. The Bats swept Omaha in six close games against Omaha last 2 weeks ago in Louisville, but then they've lost 5 of 6 to St. Paul, with the one win being today, and it was a six-inning final because of the weather. So nasty weather was all over the central part of the country this earlier today. So with that one win being today, a shortened game, the Bats are really coming in here struggling after that game. However, this season, especially over the last 30 days, we're going to try to get these stats because I keep going into my statistics, and now it's late in the year, and we're trying to get into the second half. Some of these big-name prospects are gone, so I'm really trying to track my specific stats to specifically the second half, but more importantly, at least over the last 30 days. So over the last 30 days, the Bats, and realistically this season, the Bats are a top 10 offense, a lot of offensive categories. You can talk runs, hits, walks, doubles, home runs, batting average, slugging. They are top 10 in most of those categories. In the last 30 days, pitching-wise, this is where it gets a little bit complicated for Louisville. They're 10th in ERA with a 5.39 team ERA. They're also tied for 10th in runs allowed with 143. In that same time frame, the last 30 days, the Bats have allowed 203 hits. That's tied for second least in the league. You may ask who leads the league. The answer, of course, is your Iowa Cubs. They have allowed the least with just 200 in the last 30 days. The Bats have allowed 38 home runs. That's the eighth most amount of home runs over the last 30 days of the season. The Bats lead the International League in walks over the last 30 days with 146th. They've also struck out the seventh least amount of batters with 219. And over the last 30 days, teams are batting 245 against Louisville pitchers. That is third least amount of batting average combined in the International League. Second, of course, is Iowa. I checked who is first. It is St. Paul. So the big key to this series, and again, I'm going to not, you know, say that the iCubs are probably going to win this series. They're probably going to take 5 of 6 because we all know that that's probably the reason why the iCubs lost almost every single one of those games last week against Toledo. This is a team that may be depleted at star power. All those good prospects are up in the big leagues, but forget all that. They're still a talented team. This is an opportunistic offense that can beat you, and they've got really good pitching, but the bullpen is a little bit, you know, you never know if they're going to be really good or really bad. They're kind of struggling a little bit. So the iCubs are going to have to continue the offensive surge they had against Omaha into this week. Does that mean they're going to face the same pitchers? Does that mean they're going to get the same amount of opportunities of home runs? Probably not, because as I mentioned, Louisville's still got really good starters, even though they've had a couple starters get called up to the big leagues. So they're going to have to continue that offensive surge to hold off a really talented offense in Louisville. This could also come down to the Iowa bullpen, because they've added a couple of new arms to the roster. They've been pitching really well, but they're also going to have to be consistent because, as I mentioned, this is an opportunistic offense. When they get their guys on base, they can beat you. So, and I think this series really comes down to starting pitching. You look at both teams starting pitching, The I-Cubs had really good starting pitching performances up in out in Omaha. They also had really good starting performances against Toledo, even though they didn't win those games. Louisville, same thing. Their starters have been good. Levi Stout, who's been one of their better starters, I looked into the game against St. Paul a couple of days ago, didn't pitch great, but he's still been playing really well. So starting pitching could really determine the outcomes as well between both these teams. I really believe that. But regardless, we're going to be in for some great baseball this week at Principal Park. I cannot wait to watch these teams go at each other this week. Let's get into players to watch. This is, of course, all these statistics go to the last 30 days. Some are going to be a little bit more out there because they are recently promoted prospects. So let's start with shortstop Jose Barrero. He has 27 hits with 6 home runs and 22 RBIs with a .310 batting average, all of which are team best over the last 30 days. Second baseman Matt Reynolds is tied with Barrero with 31 strikeouts each. Outfielder Nick Martini, second on the team in batting average with a .302 average. Keep an eye on catcher Chucky Robinson. He hasn't played a lot, but he has a .481 slugging percentage. It's one of the best on the roster. Watch out for new Reds top prospect, Nolvi Marte. I think I'm pronouncing the name right. He played in the Futures game along with PCA when the during the All-Star break up in Seattle. Since being promoted in the second half from AA Chattanooga, Marte is batting .283 with 3 home runs and 20 RBIs. Pitching-wise, as I mentioned, Levi Stout, one of the starters, he started 16 games. That's the most on the roster. He's 3-4, 5.55 ERA, 42 strikeouts. Now, another top prospect that got promoted in the second half was Connor Phillips. He's the fifth-best prospect in the Red system. As I mentioned, he was promoted from AA Chattanooga before the second half started. With Louisville, Phillips is 1-1 with a 3.16 ERA, 36 strikeouts for Phillips. So, still some good prospects entering Principal Park this week. With that, let's take a look at some of the promos for some of the fans out there that are coming to the games this week at Principal Park. Tuesday is Tuesdays with a TWOS days. 2 grandstand seats, 2 slices of pizza, and 2 drinks are just $36. You can also come play baseball bingo with us on Tuesday night, presented by Cumulus Media. Thursday is back to school night. You can bring 3 unopened school items and get a general admission ticket. This is presented by Great Southern Bank. You could also bring your receipt from Fairway Market and get 2 general admission or grandstand seats for the price of 1, presented by Fairway Meats and Groceries. On Friday, the I-Cubs will become the Iowa Caucuses. You might remember the Stars and Stripes jersey that the I-Cubs wear to honor the to represent Iowa's place in the 2020 presidential election. For the 3rd time this season, they will be wearing USA-themed jerseys, red, white, and blue, with Iowa caucuses across the jersey, with special USA-themed jerseys and caps. So that's always a really cool promotion that the I-Cubs do to promote where the state of Iowa was during the 2020 presidential election. And, of course, Friday is our post-game fireworks show presented by Mediacom. Of course, after the game, fans can stay and watch our post-game fireworks shows. We have our big fireworks show that is always blasted under the Betfred Lounge in left field. Saturday is, of course, our pregame catch on the field, so fans can come early and play catch on the field before every Saturday home game. The first 1,000 fans that will come to Saturday's game will get a free Brennan Davis bobblehead. For those who don't know, Brennan Davis was an outfielder for the I-Cubs that started this year with Iowa. He has been injured. He is working his way back from rehab. Hopefully, we can get him back to the ballpark before the season comes to a close. On Sunday, you can bike to the ballpark and kids can run the bases postgame. Make sure you bring 3 food items and get a free general admission ticket on Sunday. We got some really great baseball between the Chicago Cubs farm team and the Cincinnati Reds farm team. The future of the NL Central will be on display this week at Principal Park. Next episode, there will be no new episode next week. I am traveling. I will be driving from Minneapolis back to Boston. Will not have enough time to get the podcast in, probably not before arriving Tuesday, before the I-Cubs are in Indianapolis. So we will recap the I-Cubs' next road trip at Indianapolis. The following week, we will preview the following road trip when they head to Toledo, face off with the Mudheads, and this will be broadcasted from Hamden, Connecticut. I'm going back to college, and even though I will not be away from the team, or I will be away from the team for the rest of the season, we will still do the podcast every week. So this will be my last week in Iowa, and we will do all the rest of the podcast from back in Hamden And of course, stay up to date on my Twitter, on my Instagram. I post all my graphics for the iCubs during games. And, you know, all that will still be going on. But I will be in Iowa this week to wrap up my time in Des Moines. It's been a blast. Can't wait to share all of it with you guys the rest of the way from Hamden. With that, that is it for the 20th episode of the Inside the iCubs podcast. For more content on your Iowa Cubs, visit iowacubs.com. Be sure to check out all of our social media platforms on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and much more. You can also download the MILB First Pitch app and get in-game updates on your Iowa Cubs. All games are streamed for free on the Bally Live app. They're also available to listen live on Hope 940 AM Des Moines. Thanks for listening in. I'm David Marr saying so long, and as always, go Cubs go.